Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip that started from this tropic port aboard this tiny ship. The mate was a mighty sailing man, the skipper brave and sure. 5 passengers set sail that day for a 3-hour tour, a 3-hour tour. The weather started getting rough, the tiny ship was tossed. If not for the courage of the fearless crew, the minnow would be lost, the minnow would be lost. The ship's aground on the shore of this uncharted desert isle, with Gilligan, the skipper too, the millionaire and his wife, the movie star, the professor and Mary Ann, here on Gilligan's Isle.
Well, I'm not going to preach how they got off of Gilligan's Island. I'll not do that. In case you're not familiar with that TV series from the mid-60s, of course, the name of it was Gilligan's Island, and it was about a tour boat, just a very small one, named the Minna, and they launched out that day just for a 3-hour tour, but they encountered a storm, and of course, they ended up shipwrecked upon this island, and it was several years before they got off. Now, what always amazed me was this. They had that guy who was a professor who was so good at doing everything that made their lives easier and much more comfortable, but they could not he could not seem to come up with something that would repair the boat or would get them off the island. Another thing that was fictional about it, of course, was several people showed up on the island. And they managed to get away, but the people never got, those original ones, the original cast never got away. One thing that kind of stood out in my mind, surfing was very popular then among the in group. And one day a surfer showed up from California. He had come all the way. He said, "Boy, I must have really caught a wave because I ended up here on your island." And then, of course, later on, he caught another wave and got off the island. Well, I'm not going to talk about fiction today. I'm not going to talk about comedy, which that little series was. But I'm going to talk about a real shipwreck, a real storm, and what we can do to anchor ourselves and give our lives stability when we encounter storms of life indeed. Of course, we read about this, that the account is in the Bible, in the book of Acts, if you'd like to turn there to the scripture for today. There was a real storm that the Apostle Paul and others found themselves in. From Acts 27, verses 27 through 29. Our scripture says, "On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea when about midnight the sailors sensed that they were approaching land. They took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. A short time later they took soundings again and found it was 90 feet deep. Fearing that they would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight." Let's go on down and read a couple of more verses. "In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending that they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, 'Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved.' So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it drift away." Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful today for the privilege that's ours of being in your house again. For this, thy people, and we just pray, God, that you'd bless us all, draw us ever closer to you, help us, Lord, to be those sort of people that you'd want us to be. We know, God, that no matter how dedicated we are to you, sometimes life is difficult. Sometimes we encounter storms. But we just pray, God, that you'd be with us in a very special way. Help us, Lord, to depend upon your presence and your power and your love. Lead, God, and direct us in all that we do, for we ask in the name of Christ and for his sake. Amen. Now, in today's scripture found here in the book of Acts, we find that the Apostle Paul is being taken with other prisoners to Rome to stand trial. And of course, once he gets there, he spends a great deal of time, sometimes under house arrest only, and he's allowed to see visitors. He's allowed for people to come and go. But ultimately, he loses his life there in Rome, probably beheaded, historians tell us, was the final plight of the Apostle Paul. But as they were journeying to Rome, and he's being taken with other prisoners, it was kind of a large ship, especially for those days. It held a total of 276 people. But they were sailing the Mediterranean Sea. And in verse 13, we're told that when they started out their journey, when a south wind blew, the Bible says, that began to blow, that the captain felt that it was safe to sail. In other words, he felt that they could make their journey, and he was under some pressure from the ship owner to get the cargo delivered on time. Sounds like a modern day problem. Now, Paul had already warned these people. He said this. He had warned them earlier. He said, "Men, I can see that this voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to the ship and to the cargo." Now, what do we learn from this? What spiritual lessons can we learn from this account in the Bible? I think that we simply learn this. Life itself has its ebbs and flows sometimes. Life sometimes is smooth sailing, isn't it? We just, you know, there's a gentle breeze, everything is going well, our bills are paid, we're under no pressures, or we feel good physically, and all the things are going well. However, that will not always be the case, just as it was not always the case here. They started out in good weather, but it was not long until the weather changed radically. They were caught in the midst of a terrible storm, and this was no easy storm for a ship to endure in those days, because it lasted some 14 days. And they ended up on an island. None of the people lost their lives, but still, they ended up on this island, shipwrecked indeed. Now, we're going to face storms in our life. They're going to come. I don't care how much you love the Lord. I don't care how faithful you've been to the church. I don't care how much you've prayed and all these other things. We cannot escape the troubles and the difficulties of life. Those who live for the Lord are going to suffer difficulties, the Bible tells us. Now, what kind of storms will we endure in life, in our voyage through life? A host of things sometimes, where we don't ever know exactly what's going to come to us, but many things are possible. For instance, there's the employment of today. We don't have security of employment that once the world enjoyed, and our nation in particular enjoyed. I remember my mother says this. She said when she was young and when she was middle-aged, and she's been retired for several years, obviously. But anyway, she said this. She said that most everybody had job security, good job security, particularly if you had worked at a place for a number of years. She said you could count on the fact that you could retire there. But that is not always the case today, because you might have been at a place for a long time, and then all of a sudden there's a big change. There's a change in management, or there's a change in ownership, or maybe that company goes bankrupt, or maybe they ship their manufacturing process overseas. These things happen. When we were Trinity Life Chapel, we had a man in our church that was very dedicated, very, very committed to the church, and we appreciated his abilities. He worked for Encore Electric here in Dallas, and he lived in Mesquite. And he lost his job just all of a sudden, and he was devastated by this. And he ultimately had to sell his house and move to Florida. It was a very big change in his life. And sometimes things like this happen. Sometimes there's a sudden sickness or a sudden death of a close friend or a loved one, and this changes our lives very dramatically indeed. I've heard people say that they felt very good. They felt very well, but all of a sudden they went to the doctor and everything was not okay. Well, we unfortunately had someone in our church this past week, Donald Adamson, went to the doctor, had a heart cath. I was there when they were doing it, And the doctor came back and said, "I'm sorry, Mr. Adamson, you're going to have bypass surgery." He had that surgery this past week, and everything is going well. Praise the Lord. And thank you for your prayers for Donald Adamson, because I know that it's been of great help indeed. But things happen. Sometimes a person's marriage can seem stable and they seem committed to each other, but all of a sudden one partner decides that they don't want to be married any longer. And sometimes the marriages break up that have been couples that have been together for many, many years. They no longer, you know, want to live together, and they have problems in that way. Sometimes storms can be with our children. Children sometimes go through phases that they listen to. They're influenced by their peers. They are under peer pressure. They don't want to listen to their parents anymore. They don't respect their parents anymore. They don't want to do what their parents want them to do. And there is problems and turmoil in the home. Those are just some things storms that we have to go through in life. And Christians, dedicated Christians, are not immune from this. I've known preachers whose children gave them very difficult times indeed. So my question today is, how do we endure storms of life? How do we deal with these problems? How do we remain stable during these times of difficulty? Our first point is this: we do it by preparing before the storms occur. Preparation is very important. Preparing ahead of time indeed. Now, as I said, storms can overtake us very quickly, very unexpectedly, but they should not catch us totally unprepared. We should do those things before those storms occur that will make us stronger and will make us better capable of dealing with the storms in our life. Now, if a person were a sea captain, if they were a boat captain or something like this, or they were owner of a ship, if they set forth to take a voyage, they would prepare ahead of time for any kind of emergency that might occur. They would try to be prepared for good weather, but they would most be prepared in case a difficult time came up while they were at sea. Preparation is the key. And they would make sure that all the equipment was on the ship. Now, you know, we know what a terrible tragedy that the Titanic was. It was an awful thing. 1,500 people lost their lives because they did not have enough lifeboats on that great ship. Now today, if you get on a cruise ship, one of the first things that they do is they take you, before you leave port, you have to have a lifeboat drill. And they take you out there and they treat you like you're about 2 years old, or they seem to us. This is the way you go, and then you turn right here, and this is your ship, this is your lifeboat, and if the alarm sounds, you get on this one and we let you down. Well, that's a good precaution. That's a very good precaution. But, you know, I was talking to Lewis last week, our oldest son, and they went on a cruise, and he was talking to me on the phone, and he said, "Dad, I got to go because we're going to have lifeboat drills." So preparing ahead of time is a very good idea. But what do we do as Christians? How do we prepare for the storms of life? I think there are a couple of things that we need to do before that happens. I think that prayer is a very important thing. You know, some people, the only time they pray is when an emergency arises. And it's good to know that we can pray. It's good to know that we can pray during the midst of a storm. But our prayer life does not need to start then. It needs to start long before the storms ever occur. When times are good, when times are easy for us, call upon the Lord, praise God, thank Him for the blessings that He gives to you, and then you'll be prepared more adequately for those storms that are ahead of you. Jewel and I spent a couple of months in South Texas recently, as you know, and that was fairly near the coast where we were. And I noticed that many of the houses down there and many of the apartment complexes and condos and so forth, they had steel shutters on the windows and the doors, and you could just pull them down if a storm was coming. And well, what this was doing was preparing ahead of time for a storm that you could endure that storm during difficult times. And where we parked our car in the garage area and so forth, I noticed several materials there that would cover up doors and windows and protect the roof and all of that. So they were preparing ahead of time in case a storm occurred, and we need to do that through prayer. We also need to do that through studying the Word of God. You know, that's our shield, that's our strength, that's how we overcome temptation in life, that's how we deal with the difficulties of life, is we hide God's Word in our heart that we might not sin against Him, that we might be strong Christians, that we might be a good witness. We all need the Word of God to protect us against the things that will happen in our life indeed. Number two, during the times of storm, we need to keep a positive attitude. We need to keep a positive attitude. Now, I don't believe that a positive attitude will suffice in all areas of life. But I think if anybody needs to be positive in life, I think it's Christians. And I've known Christians that were not nearly as positive as they needed to be. They complained, they doubted, and so forth. But I think that we as Christians, if we know God, if we are assured in our hearts that God is our Heavenly Father, that He has all power, that He loves us, that He's going to provide for all of our needs according to His riches and glory, how in the world can we be anything but positive? How can we ever be negative? And I think that that's the attitude that the Apostle Paul said when he said this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That was a positive attitude. That was a very good frame of mind that he kept. Job, we know the difficulties that Job went through in his lifetime. He lost literally everything, all of his material possessions. All of his children were killed, and he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. All of them were taken away. His health was taken away. But he said this, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He said, "Though he slay me, yet will I serve him indeed." Paul was here on the ship. They had a storm, but he had a very positive attitude because he believed in the presence and the power of God. The book of Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul. It was one of the prison epistles. And in that prison epistle, Paul mentions, though he's in a jail, though he's in a dungeon, though the situation that he's in is very difficult, he's physically sick, it's cold in the wintertime, it's very, very hot in the summertime, all these things are surrounding him, all these storms that he's facing, but he says this, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Now, when you read the book of Philippians, you would think that everything was going well in the Apostle Paul's life. But things were not going well, but still he was able to praise God. And he said this, "If God be for us, then who can be against us?" And we remain positive by remembering this, that God is always there with us. He will help us in every situation of life. And we should never, ever forget God's promises because they're just as good during times of storm. God is a God of the mountains, but God is a God of the valleys as well. And Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians 4 and 16. He says this, and he describes the situation that he's in. He says this, "We're hard-pressed but not crushed." He said, "We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. We're struck down, but not destroyed. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are perishing, yet inwardly we're being renewed. For our light afflictions," he says, "are achieving for us the eternal glory which outweighs them all." Now, you're talking about a positive attitude. In the midst of terrible adversity and storm, that was the Apostle Paul. So when we face storms of life, we need to be positive because God is on our side. We're not to always understand. Sometimes we never know the reasons why these storms occur, but still, let's be a strong testimony for God by not falling apart when our life seems to. Let's have our faith and let's have our vision upon God Himself. Another thing that will help us, not only during storms, is this. It's not only a positive attitude, but it's physically being stable. Now, you know, God has given us all a body which we're supposed to physically take care of. your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And we're supposed to, you know, we wouldn't do anything to desecrate the church. We wouldn't do anything. We wouldn't have any habit and so forth. We wouldn't come in here and defile the church in any way because this is God's house. Well, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I think that it only makes sense to get the proper kind of diet to take care of your physical body because this is where God's Spirit dwells. We're to treat it, with the utmost respect. We're supposed to take care of ourselves, eat healthy, get the right amount of rest and so forth. Take care of your physical body because physically it is a part of our triune being that we are indeed. And then during times of storm, we need to remain patient. And that's extremely important as well. You know, I've always liked in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, the story of Joseph. Because Joseph was a man who stayed true to God during the storms of life. He was sold into captivity by his own brothers. He was betrayed by his own brothers when he was only 17 years old. He was given the responsibility by his fathers to go check. We know the story. How he went to check on his brothers, and his brothers were already jealous of him, and they said, here comes a dreamer. Here comes this guy that we don't like, even though he's our own brother, and let's just go ahead and take his life from him. And they put him in a hole and in the ground, planning to do exactly that. But we know that the Bible says that they sat down to eat their lunch, and I don't know how in the world you could have an appetite knowing that you're planning to kill your own brother. But they did. They sat down and they ate their lunch, and they looked up and they saw a caravan coming. And they said, here is our opportunity. We'll get rid of him and we'll make a little profit as well. Joseph at 17 was sold into slavery, was taken into a strange land, far away, a place he had never been. He did not speak the language. He did not know the customs. They did not worship the same God that he did, God Jehovah, by any means. But he went over there, and he kept a good attitude. He would remain patient, and God used him and so exalted him that he became second in power in the entire nation of Egypt. Not just a good story, but the fact that God will reward us if we'll remain patient, if we'll do those things that He wants us to do indeed. Now, you know, we must avoid this. When I say patience, we must avoid during the storms of life and the problems of life and the most difficult times of life, we cannot ever become angry at God or bitter because that is so destructive not only to us but to our testimony and to others that are watching our life. So remaining patient, depending upon God Himself. And then, thirdly, I would say this, we need to depend upon our position in God. Depending upon our position in God Himself. Now let's remember who God is, the kind of God that He is, the nature of God Himself. God is a kind and loving being. God is very patient with us. God is very generous to us. He's long-suffering with us. Anything that goes wrong in our life, God is always there. And let's remember this, that God is an omnipotent God, God is an omniscient God, and God is an omnipresent God. Whenever life goes wrong for us, let's don't act like that God is not there at all. God is always there with us. Any experience that we have, any temptation that we have, any problem that we have, God is there. God is with us. Thank God for His presence. And thank God that He never forgets us, particularly during the times of storm indeed. Now, if we're not careful, we'll sometimes during the problems of life and the pressures of life, we'll almost think that God has given up on us, but God never has. And sure enough, in the midst of the storm and when the storm was beginning to subside a little bit, an angel of the Lord, the Bible says, on this occasion here in the book of Acts, appeared to the Apostle Paul, and he said this. He said, fear not, Paul, because you must be brought before Caesar, and God has given you all that sail with you. So Paul did not forget about God's presence. He knew that God was there. He knew that God was with him in smooth sailing. He knew that God had been with him in prison. He knew that God would be with him when he got to Rome. But he knew that God was right there in the midst of that storm, and that gave him peace, that gave him assurance, that gave him the comfort that he needed during that time. In verse 23, he says this. He speaks to his fellow passengers. He says this, "But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Because last night an angel of the Lord God, to whom I belong, appeared to me and stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid.'" He said, "I belong to God." He's stating his position right there. And you know, if you're a Christian, you belong to God. You're His children. You're His son. You're His daughter. We have that promise. What did John say in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3? He said, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we'll see Him as He is." John 3 and 2 says this, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on His name." You know, the Bible asks this question. It says, "Can a mother forget her own child?" It's not likely, it says, but in some extreme cases, yes. And we know that that is certainly a modern problem, that sometimes couples have children and they don't even want them, and they just give them up for adoption, they just let them go and so forth, just don't want the responsibility. So the Bible says in some extreme cases, yes, a mother doesn't want that will forget their own child that they have given birth to. But it said, "I'll never forget you, because you are my child. I'll provide for your needs. I'll be there with you. I'll help you in every situation of life." And there's nothing, you know, like a mother's love. There's nothing like a mother's comfort except, or a parent's comfort, except God Himself. God cares for us. God will never give up on us. God loves us, and He will never indeed let us go. Let's remember that during the storms of life. I like what Isaiah says. In his prophecy, he says in chapter 43, verses 1 and 2, he says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you." Now, you know, when we look around today, during our problems, sometimes we can feel weary, sometimes we can feel afraid, sometimes we can feel awfully small and insignificant, like that God has almost forgot us, but He never has. We serve a great God who has done incredible things that we see all around us, nature. And you know, if you look at a chart, if you look through, you know, what scientists know today through the telescopes and so forth, and the Hubble telescope especially, which is a satellite going around the earth, they have looked in the far reaches of space, and they have said this, that the universe encompasses literally trillions of miles. And there are many planets out there and stars and so forth. And if you look at all that, if you look at a chart of it, one of the things that surprised me when I was, I think, still in elementary school was a lady, the science teacher had up on her wall all the planets there. And I always thought the Earth was the biggest planet because everything was, you know, centered around the Earth, and everything centered. I was the center of the Earth, and the Earth was the center of the universe. I always thought that, probably at the time. But I was surprised. I asked her one day, I said, "There are other planets that are bigger than the Earth?" And she said, "Oh, yeah." She said, "The Earth is pretty small compared to the others." And she said, "When you get beyond, you know, our solar system," she said, "there are other planets out there that are a lot bigger than that." But you know, God has created every one of them. And when you look at the Earth as compared to the universe, it's just a speck. And then on that speck, if you want to call it that, is between 6 and 7 billion people. And we're just one of those 6 to 7 billion people. Now you think about all that, and it makes us look kind of small, doesn't it? But that's not the way that God thinks. Even though he's capable of creating all this, and He knows all this and is aware of and takes care of all these things, God looks at the minute things, the smallest of things. He looks at us individually and our needs and our problems and our situation. The hairs on your head are numbered. God knows your greatest problem of life, and He'll always be there with you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never give up on you. You are that important to Him because that is your position as His children, as His child. You're His son, you're His daughter. And there's nothing that I wouldn't do for my children. There's nothing you wouldn't do for your children. And there's nothing that God won't do for His children indeed. Fourthly, storms can be a process for growth. Storms can be a process for growth. You know, those people in life that go through the most difficult times, and the Apostle Paul was certainly one of those who went through terrible difficulties, they came through those times stronger and more mature and more courageous than they had ever been before in their lives indeed. So storms can benefit us in this way. It can help us to become stronger in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. How are muscles built? By the way, don't ask me, obviously. Don't ask me that question. But they're built by resistance, aren't they? You know, go to the health club and you see these guys working out, and I always see them in there straining and so forth, and I get tired just watching, so I try to do something else less rigorous than them. But if you really want to build up your muscles, if you want to build up, you know, all these things, it takes resistance, it takes force against it. You have to push yourself. And when storms come in our life, they can actually benefit us in this way. It can make us stronger and more mature than when we come through victoriously. We can become a stronger Christian and a greater witness for the Lord Jesus Christ than we were in the first place. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 says this. He said, "Count it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds." Count it pure joy. Would we think that? Boy, I've got a problem. Boy, I'm excited about it too. I really am. I really got a serious problem. And boy, that gives me great joy. That's what he says right here. I mean, you know, this is biblical thinking and not our thinking and so forth. So consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Great Christians, strong Christians who have strong testimony, who were respected by others and made a great impression upon the world, indeed, were those who went through the storms of life but emerged so victoriously. The Apostle Paul spent a lot of time in prison, and that was not an easy life. Terrible conditions. Paul had probably malaria, you know, which was, I have heard and read and so forth, that it's very painful to have malaria, and they had no treatment for it. And he was under those conditions. He was chained to another prisoner. He suffered beatings. He suffered stonings, all these terrible things. But through it all, God was with him, and he came through a much better and stronger Christian indeed. Can storms give us strength? Can storms help us mature? Can storms make us a better witness for Christ if we hold on to that anchor, if we do those things that God tells us to? Finally, how can we persevere? How can we come through successfully? Well, the only way that we can emerge from a storm successfully and how can emerge the way that God wants us to is not by not depending upon ourselves, but depending upon the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to Him. Let Him help you. Let Him strengthen you. Let Him give you the power. Let Him give you His presence. Paul said this. He said, you know, these things are happening, but I believe God that it will be exactly how He has told me that it's going to be. You know, God has made us many promises. He's made us a promise that He's going to be with us. He's made us a promise that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He hasn't left us during the storms of life. He's right there. Let's believe God that it will be exactly like He has told us. You know, as we live in a world today that does not know a lot about Christ, we live in an ungodly nation, unfortunately so. It's becoming more ungodly and more sinful all the time. It behooves us as Christians that when we have a storm of life, that we be a strong witness for Christ. We say something like this: the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm enduring this problem, I'm enduring this difficulty, but I'm not going to fear because God is right there with me. He is going to give me His strength. He is going to give me His power. I don't know what kind of storm you might be facing today. It might be a personal thing. It might be a situation in your marriage. It might be a situation in your family. It could be something else. But I know that whatever that is, no matter how strong that problem is and that storm is, God is greater. Let's depend upon Him. Let's ask for His presence. Let's ask for His power. Let Him give us the faith and the assurance that we need, that we'll emerge victoriously. Let's all stand today with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Our Heavenly Father, we love You today. We thank You for all blessings. We know that just as the Apostle Paul, Lord, on this mission, God, they encountered a storm. We in life sometimes encounter storms. Sometimes it's physical things. Sometimes it's financial. Sometimes it's family. Sometimes Satan, God, just comes upon us and, Lord, these terrible things happen. We don't always know why. But, Lord, help us never to doubt the fact that You're there with us. You'll see us through victoriously. Many people have come down, God, in behalf of themselves. Others have come in behalf of others. Lord, I don't know what the situation is, but we know, Lord, that they're here today and they're calling upon You. And You're in heaven today, God. You're looking down. We call upon Your power. We call upon Your presence. We call upon Your love. We call upon You because greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. We ask the Holy Spirit, God, to give comfort and peace to every heart. Help them to know Your wisdom and what You would have them to do. Continue to bless us, God, as we serve You and as we love You. Give us, God, assurance of the fact, God, that there's never a time in our life that we don't need You, but You're always there. And when sickness comes, when death comes, when difficult times come, God, You're always there for us to call upon. I believe, God, even as it was told me what the Apostle Paul says, may we believe in Your love, Your presence, and Your power. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen. God bless you.